Titus chapter number 3. Thought we'd get verses 3 through 7 done last week. We only got the verse 3, but that's all right. We'll just keep going right where we left off. In Titus chapter number 3, and we'll start reading again in verse number 3. Praise the Lord for visitors this morning. And Miss Christina had some family here today. And then there's also a family visiting this morning. They have been listening to sermons online, and they or live over in the Cleves area, and they enjoyed services, listening to them, and so made the trip all the way out here to be in church with us this morning. So that was a blessing, and so I thought that'd be an encouragement as well. But Titus chapter number 3, and we're going to read verse 3 down to verse number 7 again tonight. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures. If you're not able to, the Lord understands that, I promise you. So Titus chapter number 3, and in verse number 3, says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and God, I love you. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you take the message and use it for your honor and for your glory. Again, thank you, Lord, for your blessings already today. And Lord, the sweet Spirit in our services. And Lord, I just pray now that the Holy Spirit would do his work as our teacher. And Lord, as our guide through these scriptures, I pray that, Lord, you just put a hedge about this place. And Lord, may our attention be drawn to you and your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, someone asked me right after our business meeting, if we buy our own chairs, no one else is allowed to sit in them, right? That's not the idea, all right? Sorry, Alex. All right, yeah, all right. But we, you know, that's the idea is still to share, all right? But it's a good question, I guess. I use as an illustration to show that we used to have depraved minds, all right? But that's what it says in verse number 3, all right? We had depraved mind. You see, he's going to talk about our behavior as saints in the Lord. And so in showing our behavior and what it should be as saints in the Lord, if you remember last week, he first pointed out, encouraged us, as we'll study tonight, remembering what we were. We talked about last Sunday night about our conduct there in verse number 3. He describes our depraved minds in saying how dumb we were before we were saved. Again, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We see how disobedient we were. It says there how we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, how deceived we were. And then we saw, again, not just our deprived minds, but our deprived morals, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Before we were saved, we were in bondage to sin. We sinned because we had to. We sinned because we were controlled by our flesh. We served those lusts and those pleasures, those wicked passions and worldly pleasures. And then we saw our depraved motives in the end of verse number 3, living in malice and envy. Malice, our evil disposition. Envy, our evil desires. And then hateful and hating one another, our evil dislikes. Let's just be honest tonight. We were a mess before we got saved. We were headed towards hell. We were controlled by sin. We were controlled by our own lust, by our own passions. We were a servant to sin. That was our conduct. But praise the Lord for our conversion. The next verse says this, "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared." Oh, what a wonderful conjunction that is. We were a mess, but praise the Lord for salvation. I want you to see a couple things about our conversion in this verse number 4. First of all, you see a revelation took place. It says, But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. We were pretty rotten creatures. And let's be honest, when we act in the flesh, we're still pretty rotten creatures. But there's a change that's happened in us. And that change, that revelation took place. So what is the revelation? the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. There came a point in our life, every one of us that are saved tonight, that we saw something. We saw something that we had not seen before. I like that word there. It says there, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That word appeared. I got a light in my bedroom, and that light, you know, I have it set to where at a certain time in the morning, it barely comes on. And then as the minutes go on, that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. All right, so it kind of slowly, you know, instead of, you ever been in a sound sleep and all the lights just come on, you're like, oh, I'm blind, right? You know, and so this light comes slowly on, all right? That is not what this verse is saying. What this verse says is this, that we were living in our sin, but there was a time in our life when all of a sudden that light shined on us. When all of a sudden we said, wait a second, I see something that I've never seen before. And what it was that we saw, this revelation that we had, is we saw the kindness and the love of God. I outlined it in this way. We saw the character of God. That's His kindness. That's who God is. He is a kind God. It's the devil in a lost world that wants to paint a picture of an angry God. Our God is a kind God. He is love. 1 John says it clearly, God is love. Now He is holy and He is just, and I understand that. But all of us should understand that if it weren't for the kindness of God, we'd all be in trouble tonight. For as much as holy and just that He is, He is kind. And it was the kindness of God that appeared to us. When we realize just who this God is, you say, well, how did we see God's kindness before we were saved? Because the reason we're saved tonight is because we learned something. That even though we are rotten sinners, Christ came and died for our sins. God showed the ultimate love and kindness in sending His Son for us. Why did God do it? Because that's who God is. He's a kind God. Why did He come? Because that's the compassion of God. He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we were on, let's be honest today, we were just living our life, serving these lusts and pleasures, living in malice, hateful, hating one another. Now I understand, as I said last week, you won't find that verse. There's a lot of verses you'll find comparing, you know the what a bishop must be in Titus and Timothy. But you're not going to find that verse in Timothy, because Timothy's salvation testimony was different than the Cretans. The Cretans were wicked. They were lustful, lazy, wicked people. The Holy Spirit said so. Paul wrote it down. That's what they were. Remember studying that? Amen. So Titus is told here to remind the Cretans that they were controlled by these lusts, controlled by these wicked desires. But there came a day, one day, when all of a sudden that light shined upon them. Just like you and I, now we may have a testimony just like the Cretans that, you know, there are some in this auditorium, you were a drunk. Some in this auditorium were playing around with drugs. Some in this auditorium was headed towards hell and living an immoral life. But God shone that light upon you, and praise the Lord, He broke you free from all of that, and your life changed that day. There are some in this auditorium, and praise God for a second generation. There were no second generation Christians in Crete. Now for Timothy, he had learned this from his mother and his grandmother. Timothy's testimony would be slightly different than the Cretans. Now, Timothy had to be saved the same way the Cretans had to be saved. Timothy was just as much a sinner as the Cretans were sinners. But Timothy hadn't gone out and lived in all this foolishness and deception, and he said unto the truth. But he still needed to be saved too. The word of God made him wise unto salvation. See what happened to Timothy? One day, that light shone upon him. The only difference was for these Cretans, they were adults living in their sin. Timothy was a young man, but that light shone upon him. And what did he see? What same thing you and I saw. That we have a kind God that loves us and wants us to get saved. Can I tell you something real quick? If you have a God that sent his Son to die for our sins because he loves us so much, if you have a God that allowed his Son to go through what he did for our salvation, friends, he's not going to hold that salvation back from us. He's not God. That's why there is simplicity in Christ. Christ wants us. God wants us to be saved. It is a gift. We can choose to receive it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that, yes, I am a sinner, but Jesus died for my sins. Praise the Lord for that revelation that comes. A few weeks ago, Kaylee was in junior church, and Brother Price was preaching, and that light shined upon her. She saw it. Marlon sang the special today. I was in the service. I remember it. 7 years ago. That's hard to believe. 7 years ago, Brother Slee was preaching on Cain and Abel. I remember it. And right in the middle of the sermon, because she didn't know how to act in church like us, right in the middle of the preaching, she said, "It's the blood. The light shone upon her. And she saw it." Aren't you thankful for the day when that light shone upon you? Amen. And you saw your need of salvation. You saw what Christ did for you and how God loves you so much. There was a revelation. Then in verse number 5 and 6, there was a revolution. Amen. This is the kind of sermon. There's some sermons you have to sit there and be like, "Well, this is rough." This is one of them sermons you ought to be able to shout and amen. You can, I'll give you permission. You can even raise your hand tonight. All right? Yeah, all right? Amen. We talked. Thank you. All right? It's okay. All right? But the Bible says here, this is a wonderful thing. Look at verse number 5. Again, but after that, now that's what we were. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You, this revolution took place. Verse number 5, our works were excluded. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. My friends, something changed, and it wasn't what we did. It wasn't what we did. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Things changed, but it wasn't because I deserved it. It wasn't because I did and accomplished something. It wasn't because I had to work up something. It wasn't, there are some people that think they have to work up some sort of salvation or enough of this or of that. My friends, the light shines down upon you. You realize your needs. You have heard the truth, and you, all you have to do is respond to that in faith and repentance, looking to Christ. And it's not what we do. It's not our works. And it says there very clearly, not by works of righteousness which we have done. I'm going to heaven tonight, and friends, it's not because of me. It's all because of him. And Paul tells Titus to remind them, because you had a group of people that their life was drastically going to change. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 is true for them, and it's true for us too, by the way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are going to be passed away. Behold, all things become new. But we, our life changes because of our salvation, not to obtain a salvation. This simple little phrase in the very first part of verse number 5 throws out most and every false religion out there that is basing their salvation on what they're doing. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. There was a revolution that took place, amen. Our works were excluded, but then you see our washing is explained. First of all, the first thing that happened, you had the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. By, here's what happened, by the washing of regeneration. The Holy Spirit, there was a washing of regeneration. So what is that talking about? Well, our sin nature had control of us. Because of our sin nature, we were apart from God. Because of our sin, we had no hope. And salvation is not in our morality. It is totally in his mercy. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We were so wicked, we had to have a washing. Now that phrase, it's interesting. I want you to look at it again. It says, by the washing of regeneration. Now what is the washing of regeneration? I think to fully grasp this, keep something right there. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2 real quick. Look in Genesis chapter number 2. Not a difficult question. Genesis 1, 2, what do we have? There you go, right? Brother Fallon, sticker on your chart today, my friend, all right? But in Genesis chapter number 2, and look with me, we got to go quickly for time, but verse number 4. Genesis 2 and verse number 4 says this, these are the what?
Generations
of the heaven and of the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Turn over to chapter number 5. Get the same idea. Chapter 5 and verse number 1. Chapter 5 and verse number 1 says this. This is the book of the what?
Generations
of Adam. Now, there were no people before Adam. In the beginning, God created. That word generations is where we get the word Genesis. That makes sense, right? And God used it here in the book of Genesis in just the exact way that it should be used as. It means this, beginning. Birth. The beginning. That's why it says the generations of the heaven and earth. The generation of Adam. It was the beginning. When man was created, it was created in perfection.
Amen.
Adam and Eve, and this is just scripture, they had no need for clothing because they were dressed in the glory of God. They walked upon a world that was perfect without sin in perfect fellowship with God. That was the generation of heaven and earth and Adam. Everybody follow me? But in Genesis chapter number 3, there came the degeneration. So what happened? Sin. When sin took place, man changed instantly. Just as God warned, he said, the day that you eat it, you shall die. The moment that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit and sinned, they spiritually died. The glory of God departed from them. For the first time, they were ashamed. They went and tried to hide themselves. When God came to walk in fellowship with them, he called out to them, but they hid themselves because a degeneration had taken place. They lost their purity. Understand before that, that body just was a temple for the glory of God. That's why they walked clothed in the glory of God. When sin took place, that glory departed. When that degeneration happened, Now, God's plan is for man to be reconciled. A sacrifice was made, the truth was shared, and what God wants is for us as man to get saved. And the moment we get saved, we're sealed until the day of redemption. What happens when we get saved? The Holy Spirit again indwells us. Amen? And what happens when we get saved? Man was created in the generation. Sin came, there was a degeneration. But when man accepts Christ as a Savior, there is a washing of regeneration. There is a new birth, a new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? A new beginning. That's a blessing, my friends. A start over, if you will. And all of a sudden now, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer once more. As we're going back to Titus, jump a little ahead to 1 John chapter number 1. Read these verses. How did this happen? This washing of regeneration. In 1 John chapter number 1, I'll show you what the Bible says about that. In verse number 6, 1 John 1 and verse number 6 says this. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. It is the blood that washed us and allowed this regeneration to take place. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen? We have been cleansed because of the blood. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says this, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for also the sins of the whole world. Understand, ready, that man was created in the generation. He was created. That was the beginning. Sin came in and there was a degeneration. Man fell. The glory departed. But the moment that you get saved by the washing of regeneration, the blood of Christ covers our sins and we are created into a brand new creature. You're not reformed. You're not just changed a little bit. There is a brand new beginning. The past is gone. It has been removed. Praise God for that regeneration that he gives us because of the blood. It is a rebirth. That's what Jesus is talking about to Nicodemus when he says, ye must be born again. It's a rebirth. You see our washing explained back in Titus. There is a regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, there is a renewing of the Holy Spirit. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. So what is that talking about? Best way to explain that, use scripture with scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at this real quick. Back a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's kind of addressing this issue here. Look at verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with joy. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Understand our salvation is because of this regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he washed us. He cleansed us. We became, there was a regeneration, a new birth. I am not what I was. God changed me. Now every day while I live in this flesh, my flesh combats me. So does your flesh. Every day, the old man tries to raise his ugly head. Before we were saved, look back again at verse number 3, in the middle of that verse, we served divers lust and pleasures. We were a slave to sin. Now that we've been washed, there is a renewing of the Holy Ghost. A day by day renewing. See, I'm getting saved every day. No, no, no. You were washed. You were born again. You don't have to be born. You have one physical birth. Jesus said it clearly. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit. Amen? What is this renewing? It's every day the Holy Spirit says, you don't have to serve sin anymore. I'm giving you power today to overcome. Friends, you're not getting it. You're not a slave to sin. Every day the Holy Spirit gives you a renewing, if you'll let Him. Every day the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to overcome whatever you're facing. Every day the Holy Spirit will give you the power to overcome that sin. Every day there's a renewing, day by day, Paul says in Corinthians. Day by day the Holy Spirit fills you with His power, if you'll let Him. That's why it's so important to yield to the control of the Spirit of God every day. There was a revelation. Praise God, then there was a revolution. Our works were excluded, and our washing explained. Aren't you thankful tonight for the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of the Holy Spirit? But then you see, number 3, our works were excluded, our washing explained, and then verse number 6, our wickedness was expunged. Verse number 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I want you to see, first of all, in this verse, the measure of our change. Now, again, put verse with verse. Verse number 3, we were rotten. Amen? We were serving divers lust and pleasures. We were living in malice, hateful and hating one another. But there was a revelation. Amen? After that, the kindness and love of Christ our Savior toward man appeared. And then we had this revolution take place. Our works are excluded. It's not what we did, but it's what God did. He washed us. The washing of regeneration. We are renewed by the Holy Ghost. And then you see our wickedness has been expunged from us. All this washing and renewing, verse number 6, which He shed on us. What's the topic? What's being shed on us? This washing, this renewing, amen? Which He shed on us, what's the next word? Abundantly. The measure of our change is this: God did it abundantly. In other words, it isn't like, you know, if I walked over to the kitchen right now and turned on the faucet, there would be water. Everybody using your imagination with me, right? Everybody picturing the water coming down from the little spigot, right? You good? Some of you aren't. I will bring the water hose in here and show you, all right? Are you with me? Now go from there to Niagara Falls. That's what God did for you. He didn't just cling you up a little bit. There was an abundantly. That washing was not just a little water hose. Remember, I used to play at my grandpa's. I'd get filthy. My grandma wouldn't let me in the house. She'd turn on the spigot. My grandma washed her front porch. I imagine she still does. Every morning with her water hose. Sprayed the cleanest porch you'll ever see. You can eat off my grandma's porch. Still to this day, right? She sprayed it off, and I was never allowed on that porch until she... She'd take that water hose and wash her hands, throw it on my head, and you know, got to clean up, all right? That's not the way God did it with our salvation. He cleansed it. Is that a word? He cleansed us abundantly. And that renewing is abundantly. I just can't overcome my sin, liar. Because that doesn't line up with the Bible. I can't get over this. Wrong. You can. Now, I understand. Some sins are powerful. Some addictions are strong. I've seen some come and take a pack of cigarettes and lay it on an altar and never touch them again. I've seen some come and lay a pack of cigarettes on the altar 20 times. Trying. But in all cases, God will give you what you need. And He'll do it abundantly. If we let Him. We have to accept what God's doing in our lives. Look over in John chapter number 7 real quick. John chapter number 7. I like this verse that goes with this. And I'll just say this because we got to keep moving. But a Christian life, and this is the part that a lot of people just don't get. The Christian life, I hope you're listening to me, is a supernatural life. Now that was a simple statement I made, but it is very important that you get that. You and I cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I cannot live as I should tomorrow without accepting that renewing in my life tomorrow. I will fail. We cannot live the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter number 7 and verse number 37 says this, in the last day, John 7, verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, in the scripture, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. What did Jesus say there? That we, all his children, will one day receive this Holy Ghost. When the Lord ascended, Acts, we received. The moment you got saved, you received the Holy Ghost. And look what it says there. It says in that verse there, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Ghost doesn't just want to be some little faucet that you turn on and barely let something drip out of it every once in a while. He wants to abundantly change your life. He wants to abundantly empower you to live a victorious life. He wants to show himself in an abundant way. You see the measure of our change. Back in Titus, then you see the means of our change. In Titus chapter number 3 and in verse number 6, again I'll read verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. That's the measure. And now you see the means of our change. How did it happen? Through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, how does this victory take place? Through Jesus Christ our Savior. We cannot do it without Him. We need His presence in our life. And we must fully surrender to this. Paul talks to Titus here about our conduct. Then he talks about our conversion. Then in verse number 7, this is as far as we'll go tonight, our consummation. We saw how our wickedness was expunged. And you see here in verse number 7, that being, what's the next word? Justified. Just two things and we'll close. What Christ did for us, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the law is forever satisfied. It says in that verse that being justified by His grace. We have been justified by His grace. Friends, forgiveness is wonderful. But justification is far greater. You can be forgiven and still be guilty. Every parent understands that. I think every parent, their child's come up to them at some point and said, I'm sorry. And you forgave your child. But they were still guilty. And you can even be forgiven and still have to pay for your sin. I watched a courtroom the other day of some heinous murder that took place, and a lot of you probably saw it too. And the family of the victim that was killed went up to the person that had done the deed, and they forgave him. They hugged him, and they gave the glory of God and said, we forgive you. But he still went to jail. He was forgiven. I think a lot of Christians live their life saying, I'm forgiven. You're far more than forgiven. Far more than forgiven. You have been justified. Justification is far greater than forgiveness. Say, how is that? Again, I've given this definition many times. Justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Understand, grace doesn't just forgive. God's grace justifies. What does that mean? It means this: you have been declared righteous before the law. It means this, Christian: the law has no claim. You have been, here's a popular word today, acquitted. You know what that means? There is no record of wrongdoing. If you've been acquitted, there's no record of wrongdoing. When you were forgiven and justified, a holy God who is the judge says there is no past. Isn't that a glorious thing? Your sin record has been removed. Say, how is that possible? God did it. Look at these verses, because I just find great comfort in these verses. Go back to Jeremiah chapter number 31. Just read these verses and we'll close. Jeremiah chapter number 31. This morning, this clock hadn't been changed. Somebody didn't want to take a chance tonight, did you? All right, yeah. You changed it for this service, all right? In Jeremiah chapter number 31 and verse number 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That is one of the reasons our salvation is a miracle. Because an all-knowing God chooses. And can God lie? And an all-knowing God chooses. But the moment that Travis Burke got saved, God said, his wickedness is gone. The devil's an accuser. Guarantees I had many reasons to point his finger at me. But I've been justified. And as a person who understands the scriptures, that doesn't make me want to say, I'm going to just go out and sin. I've never met a believer that felt that way. Every unbeliever looks at this doctrine that I'm teaching and says, well, then I'm just going to go ahead and live however I want to, right? I've never met a believer that feels that way. Instead, we humbly say, wow, thank you, God. Amen. And I just want to serve you. He says, I will remember their sin no more. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 8 as we make our way back to Titus. Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8 and in verse number 12. Hebrews 8 and verse number 12. Hebrews 8 and verse number 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In chapter 10, verse number 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My friends, when that washing of regeneration takes place, only God can do this. But God says, their sins are gone. Because I'm not just a reformed Travis Burke. I am a new creature. I am a regeneration. Does that make sense? A new beginning. A new birth. And my sins, you say, but you did commit sins. I did. And if I tried to, I could sit here and think about a whole lot of them. But there's a God in heaven that says, I, an all-powerful God, choose to never remember those sins anymore. The law is forever satisfied. I have been justified. And the last part of verse number 7 in Titus 3, and we're done. That being justified by his grace, the law is forever satisfied, and life is forever ratified. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Understand, because all of this that has taken place, now we have to go back to verse 3 to get it all. We were a mess. We were rotten. We were sinful. We were controlled by sin, headed towards hell. And it would do all of us good to remember what we were before we got saved. That's why the Holy Spirit led Paul to write this passage of Scripture. Because there was going to become this attitude. I know it's something completely foreign to any of us in 2020. But there was going to become this attitude amongst these people, these believers in Crete, that said, I'm not like they are. They're a bunch of liars. Wicked world. I'm glad I'm not like that. God sure must be pleased with me. I'm so better than them down the street that aren't in church. Paul said, Titus, remind them. That's what they were. But something changed in their life. It wasn't what they did. It's what God did. And God washed them through the washing of regeneration. They were made into an entirely new creature because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only reason they are anything today is because of that renewing of the Holy Ghost day by day that gives them the strength to live this Christian life. They have been forever set free from the penalty of sin. Amen. And someday, the Lord's coming back. And we're not just been set free from sin, but we are heirs. Heirs. I like in that verse, it says there, we've been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's two things that is coming for us. That hope, the blessed hope. He's coming back one day. And after that, in eternity with our God and Savior. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he doth appear, we shall be like him. Praise the Lord for that day.